From 90.7 WMFE News, I'm Judith Smelser in for Tom Parkinson. It's 7:35. A lot has changed in the nation's economic picture since last week, and our economic analyst, Hank Fishkind, is here to help us figure out what it all means for Central Florida. Good morning, Hank.
Good morning, Judith.
Well, the most recent news was Standard & Poor's decision to downgrade the U.S. credit rating. So does it have any impact on Florida's credit rating or any local government bonds?
Well, not in the short run, but this has never happened before. If the state of Florida were downgraded, it would affect the credit quality of Orange County in the way it's perceived, and that would cause a downgrade in the county. So some people are thinking if the nation got downgraded, every local government would be downgraded. But I don't think that's going to happen. The budget problems of the nation are separate and apart, in a sense, from the budget problems here in Florida. So they are somewhat distinct. And as I said, we don't have any history. So time will tell, but my sense is that the ability of Orange County or the ability of the city of Orlando to pay its bills has not changed simply because S&P has downgraded the U.S.
Before the credit downgrade happened late on Friday, the big news of the week was, of course, that Congress had finally reached a deal to raise the debt ceiling so the U.S. won't default on its debts after all. We've heard a lot about what this means on the national level. What does it mean for us here in Central Florida?
It means a lot for us here in Central Florida. Certainly, we avoided the chaos that a debacle would have caused. Secondly, it also allows now decisions to be made. Many projects in Central Florida were put on hold, waiting on the disposition of the debt ceiling. Now that that uncertainty is removed, I think what we'll see is these pent-up spending projects begin to actually come to light.
Are we talking about development projects or what?
Yeah, major development projects, major construction and infrastructure projects.
And those are going to be starting back up again now, you think?
Yes, I have some that I'm responsible for at Port St. Lucie, and we will be initiating those projects. We had put them on hold for over 90 days waiting on the resolution of the debt ceiling.
The other half of the debt ceiling deal, raising the debt ceiling, involved massive cuts in federal spending, $900 billion now, another $1.5 trillion supposed to be decided by this bipartisan super committee sometime before the end of the year. Which of these cuts should we be particularly concerned about here in our area?
Well, I think we need to be most concerned about the cuts to Medicaid and the cuts to defense spending. But I think we need to keep it in perspective. The cuts are really back-end loaded. So they're not going to happen tomorrow. They're not going to happen next year. They're really for 2012, 13, and 14, especially in 13 and 14. So the big cuts will come then.
So we shouldn't be worried about it? I mean, certainly with defense spending, our defense industry, our defense contractors have got to be worried about that, even if it is a couple of years out.
Well, a couple of years out, yes, we would need to worry about that some. Now, fortunately, we have a precision-guided ordnance and a lot of simulation, and that's where most of our defense spending contracts are. And that those areas probably will survive well across the cuts. Simulation training is very cost-effective, so it's unlikely to receive major cuts. And because we've used so much precision ordnance in the wars, we're going to need to restock the shelves. So I think in the short run, we'll probably be in pretty decent shape here.
Are we looking at something worse down in the long run, though? Should the defense contracting industry be making some kind of plans for the future?
Absolutely. And the simulation systems need to expand and their reach outside of defense in order to continue to be as viable as they've been and continue to be an engine of growth here.
And you mentioned Medicaid also obviously being a big big problem for us, the cuts and the amount that the state is going to have to kick into that program.
Well, the state, to its credit, and I don't give the state much credit too often, but to the state's credit, Judith, we have moved to a more managed care system for Medicaid. The Florida waiver to continue that program is pending with the federal government. I hope it's approved because it is a cost-effective way for us to provide medical care to those that can't afford it in the state of Florida.
And of course, there's a lot of people who would argue with you on that, but that's a conversation for a different day. That's Central Florida economist Dr. Hank Fishkind, and you can download his weekly podcast by going to our website, wmfe.org/fishkind. Hank, thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Judith.